And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about deal flow. Do you know what deal flow is? Okay, whether you know what deal flow is or not, whether you think you know what it is or not, I'm going to give you the Lifestyles Unlimited perspective on what deal flow is. Okay, so that way, the reason we're doing this is I want everybody on the same sheet of music. See, if we're not organized the same way, if we don't understand the same concepts the same way, that's going to cause a problem. Would you agree with that? I mean, think about where you work. Do you work as a part of the team? You probably do. Most places where people work, you operate as a part of a bigger component, do you not? You're a cog in the machine, so to speak. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that's the way it works. Okay. All those pieces have to be dialed in, right? You all have to be on the same operating platform. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Okay. So that's why I think it's important for us to talk about the concept of deal flow. And what is it? What exactly is deal flow? What does it mean? Now, I will tell you, people hear that term, deal flow, and it kind of sounds like maybe we're talking about illicit substances, right? Like maybe we're a dealer or something. Yeah, maybe the old school days back when, you know, all that stuff was illegal in most of the... Well, okay, doesn't matter. Whether you consume that or you don't, I don't care. That's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is I want to explain to you how we look at deal flow. What deal flow is your access to opportunity. That's what deal flow is. It's your access to opportunity. So what does that mean? How do you get that? Is there an app on your phone? Can I download something? How do I get that? Okay. Real simple. The way you develop deal flow is you meet other people. Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? You think if you're looking for multifamily property, all you have to do is go to a website called LoopNet. Yeah, that's all you think you have to do. But there's a problem. There are many people in Lifestyles Unlimited that believe that the assets that are available for sale on a site like LoopNet are the properties that have already been picked over. Yeah, one guy explained it to me this way. He said, oh, that's where properties go to die. And what he was trying to say was, if you're looking at LoopNet for all available properties, you don't have deal flow. You don't have deal flow at all. What you have not achieved yet is the relationships that you must develop with other people in order to get the deal flow coming into you. What about the single family space? You think that all you have to do is go on to the internet, maybe go to a place like Zillow or maybe realtor.com, and every property that you're going to buy is available to you there. And that's not true. That's not true at all. As a matter of fact, many of the properties that I buy as single family assets, well, they're not offered on the multiple listing service. So how do I get access to those properties? Well, I create relationships. I create relationships with other people. So, okay, who do we create these relationships with? Who are we trying to meet? Okay, real simple. I'm just going to lay it out for you. I'm just going to tell you exactly what we would teach you if you were sitting in our seminar room or if you were watching us online in our 16-hour financial freedom seminar. It's no secret. It's no secret. I'm just going to share with you information you can use. You okay with that? In the single family space, you have to go out and develop relationships with different types of people. We will teach you how to develop relationships with realtors, And you're thinking, wait a minute, Al, you just told me don't go to realtor.com. You don't buy anything there. Yeah, that's what I told you. But I have relationships with real estate agents, both on the single family side and on the commercial side in the multifamily space. I have relationships with agents. Now, why do I have these relationships with these agents? If I just said, well, most of the stuff I don't buy is on the MLS. Okay, here's why. They are in the business of transacting property. You heard me correctly. They're in the business of transacting property. They don't get paid unless they can find a buyer and a seller, and they can help that buyer and seller come to terms on a sale, and then that sale has to go through an escrow process and actually close, and then actually fund if there's a loan involved. These people, these professional real estate agents, they got their fingers on the pulse of the market. They do. They control and operate within a segment of the market that I don't dwell in. I don't dwell in that. I don't aggressively look for people trying to sell their property so that I can help them get it sold. I don't aggressively look for people trying to buy properties so that I can help them find the property that makes sense for them so that I can make a commission off that sale. I don't do that. But I have relationships with people that do that, and they understand my buying requirements. They understand what I am looking for. My single family agents that I have relationships with, they understand the asset that I'm looking for. This point needs to hit home with you. 80% of the real estate professionals that are out there make 20% of the income. That means 20% of the real estate professionals that are out there make 80% of the income. Why is that? Well, here's why. There are real estate agents out there that are aggressive. They're motivated. They understand the business that they have elected to be a part of, and they're working their butts off. They are engaged in the business of transacting properties, and they're not going to let anybody stop them. They're really good at putting buyers and sellers together and then closing transactions. Those are the kind of real estate professionals you need to be working with. And here's why. The rest of them, that other 80%, they're nice people. Trust me, they're nice people, but they're not a part of that 20%, meaning they're not doing something that 20% is doing in order to be a part of that 20%. I'll be the first to tell you, there are real estate professionals out there that don't do real estate full time. They don't. They got into real estate because they were looking for an opportunity to maybe make some money on the side. In other words, they're working a 40-hour job already, and they're trying to do real estate on the side to pick up some extra money. I don't want you working with an agent like that. I'm serious. I don't want you working with an agent like that because that person is focused on their 40-hour job. They're available to you to like help you through the process, you know, if you need it. But they're engaged in their 40-hour job. They're not engaged on looking for properties for you. That's why you got to work with the 20%. Now let's talk about the commercial side. That's an even tighter segment. What I'm trying to get at is there are a handful of commercial agencies out there, commercial brokerages, that handle the majority of the transactions in this nation. The rest want to be a part of that group. Who should you work with? Should you be working with the up-and-comers? Or should you be working with the people that have already arrived? You've got to answer that question. You have to answer that question. Now, I will tell you, if you identify an up-and-comer that should be a part of that 20%, go with them. Go with them. Go ahead. But recognize they're not there yet. They'll probably get there, but they're not there yet. So they have potential to get there. Why don't you just work with the people that have access to the assets that you want to buy? Doesn't that make sense? I think it makes total sense. And this gets back into this concept of deal flow. You have to know where your sources of opportunity are coming from. Hey, let's go back to that single family space, shall we? You ready? I told you the type of deals that I buy in the single family space, they don't come from the multiple listing service. They don't. And here's why. These assets are usually in really bad shape. They don't show well on the MLS. If they do make it to the MLS, usually they're overpriced. In other words, the seller is asking for what the after repair value of the asset would be, even though the property's not been fixed up to achieve that number. What am I getting at? All right, well, let's say you're in a neighborhood where the homes are, I don't know, they sell every day for about $200,000, cross board, $200,000 in this neighborhood, all fixed up. That's the after repair value of that neighborhood. Yet you have an asset in that neighborhood that's been in that neighborhood since it was built. Maybe it's been there about 30, 40 years. And somebody owned that asset and they lived in it their entire life. And they passed away. And now the children have inherited the asset. Now the children, let's just assume these children get along, because I hate all these stories about all the siblings that fight with each other and then they fight with each other over the assets. I hate that. My children will never do that. They trust me. You might say, oh, you say that now, but I know that for a fact. They will never do that because they are a part of my financial team. Yeah, they're a part of my legacy. They understand everything that I own, and they understand that if I die, they know what to do with it. So there is none of that stuff that's going to go on in the Gordon household when I check out of planet Earth. Not going to exist. But having said that, these people are getting along too. Yeah, but what they're thinking is, hey, this is mom's house. She lived in this thing her entire life. As a matter of fact, we grew up here. There's memories here. The house has got a lot of sentimental value. As a matter of fact, it's in a neighborhood of houses that are selling for $200,000. But here's the problem with this house. That's the original roof. Now, it doesn't leak, but it's never been repaired. It's never been replaced. If you go into the property, hey, the floors are all pretty level. This is good. Now, one of the things you might run into is you might run into a property where the floors, well, they're not level, okay? There's been some settling. There's been some foundation changes, and that scares a lot of people. It does. It scares people. Now, as a trained real estate investor, that doesn't scare me. All that is to me is a cost and an amount of time to remedy that. That's all that is to me. That's all I look at. Now, the other problems with the house, well, it has to do with the beautiful paneling on the walls. You know, that stuff that was fashionable back like in the 1970s and 1980s. It's still there. It's worn, but it's still there. You know what? That doesn't show very well. It makes the place very, very dark. Oh, by the way, the flooring. Yeah, I know mom replaced the carpet 12 years ago, and I know she vacuumed pretty regularly. But that's 12-year-old carpet. And who knows what's underneath that pad by now? Yeah, you never know. Okay, so what I'm getting at is, even though this is a property that was probably reasonably taken care of, this property has been worn out. The value of that property has diminished because of its current state of readiness. Or, yeah, that's the best way for me to describe it. That home is not ready to go back into the market at a price point of $200,000. No, because that home is going to need some remediation. Some things are going to have to happen to that home to get it to that $200,000 price point, which means that property is really not worth $200,000. That property is only worth a certain amount of money in the market to me as a buyer. Now, to the seller, it's worth a whole lot of money, right? But they also want to sell the property. To me, I can only afford to buy that property for a certain price point. Based on what I know is wrong with the property and based on what I know it's going to take to bring that property back to its glory days. Oh, by the way, there has to be a financial incentive for me to buy that property. When we come back from the break, I'm going to carry this conversation into the future. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because that's the way it's set up, but because of the knowledge.
When put into action, knowledge is power. At Lifestyles Unlimited, we empower you to live the lifestyle of your dreams through passive real estate income. For over 30 years, our successful members share their knowledge through case studies, classes, and mentoring. Tap into the knowledge. Attend a free workshop online. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
So I'm talking about the concept of deal flow. Now, deal flow is one of these things you got to wrap your head around, because deal flow equals opportunity. That's really what it means. So how do you get this deal flow? How do you create this deal flow? Well, I told you earlier, it's based on relationships. And I told you that you need to make relationships with certain entities. And I was talking about the real estate professionals out there. Now, there's another entity you may want to make a relationship with. These people are called wholesalers. What's that, you're thinking? What is a wholesaler? Okay. What a wholesaler is somebody who will go out and they will find somebody like maybe these people I was talking about in the last segment, this family that inherited mom's house, that are having difficulty selling the property. And the reason they're having difficulty selling the property is that they're asking more for the property than what the market will bear. So even though they think that property is worth $200,000, that property maybe, depending on what repairs are necessary to bring that back to its original condition, maybe that property is only worth, I don't know, $120,000. Okay. So that family is going, wow, you know, that's like a huge haircut. We can't sell that house for $120,000. What's wrong with that? So this family has probably been receiving, if they went on the multiple listing service, that is, if they went on the multiple listing service and they put that property on for $200,000, what they should have received was a lot of feedback from other people going, it ain't worth $200,000. You need to lower your price. But sometimes people get stuck on a price and maybe they go through a 90-day listing cycle. They have all kinds of people come through the property, and the only offers that they get are offers for less money. Because let me tell you what happens. If a property sits on the multiple listing service for 45 days or more, there are investors out there that aggressively go after those properties. Because what they understand, especially in this market, where we've got like, what, 30 days of inventory, which is like crazy. Usually we have about 6 months worth of inventory. So right now it's a real tight market. Okay. But having said that, these people would, if they stayed on the market for 45 days, especially in this market, that's a clear indication that they're overpriced. Okay. So now this family's going, all right, let's get into reality. Maybe the house is only worth $120,000. How do we make it $200,000? So what do? They try and figure out what needs to be replaced. Well, the AC, that needs to be replaced. The roof, yeah, probably, I don't know, let it go. You know, whatever. It's not leaking, who cares, right? They're not doing anything to the property. And here's why. They don't want to put any money into the property. They just want to take the money out of the property. And now they're getting sticker shock because the property isn't worth what they thought it was worth. Because what they probably did is they probably went out and found a realtor who was part of that 80% that only makes 20% of the money that said, I'll do anything for a listing. And they listed the property without doing the things that they're supposed to do to advise the client that it's not worth that. Okay. So now they're finally in 90 days later, the listing expires. They're getting calls from every other realtor. Yeah, because that's the way it works. If you have an expired listing, expect to get phone calls from other real estate companies. I'm just going to tell you that, okay? So they're 3 months down the road. Property hasn't sold. Their hopes for $200,000 are dashed. Now they're thinking it's only worth $120,000, and they're thinking, now we got to pay this commission to this real estate agent who can't even get the property sold, and we're going to lose more money. So they decide, you know what? Let's take it off the market. Let's just take it off the market. Let's regroup. Let's think this through. Then all of a sudden, they start getting letters in the mail, people that are saying, hey, we'll buy your house, all cash, close in 10 days. You know what those are? Those are wholesalers. These are people that go out and find these kind of distressed assets, and they'll come in and they'll make an offer for your property. They will come into this family and they will say, what would you like for your property? And the family, they'll be distraught. They'll say, well, we thought it was worth $200,000, but we're only getting offers for $120,000. This is terrible. And you know what the wholesaler will say? What are you willing to sell it for? Is there a price you had in mind? And the family might say, if we could only get $130,000 for it, we would let it go. And you know what the wholesaler's going to do? He's going to put them under contract right there and then to buy that house for $130,000, all cash, close in 10 to 14 days. Yeah. And you know what? That family is going to be ecstatic because they've just gone through a three-month season where nothing happened with this property. Okay, nothing's happened with this property, and now they finally have an offer from somebody who's willing to at least pay them $10,000 more than the realtor said it was worth, and they don't have to pay a commission. As a result of that, they're going to keep more money in their pocket. What does the wholesaler do? Does the wholesaler go down to the title company and close? No. The wholesaler has relationships with real estate investors, people like me. And the first thing they're going to do as soon as they leave that person's house is they're going to dial me up and they're going to go, Al, here's what I've got. ARV, $200,000. Price point, $130,000. I'm going to charge you a $5,000 fee to assign the contract to you. Here's what I think is wrong with the property. Would you be interested in buying it? And what I'm going to do, because I've got a relationship with this wholesaler and I've kind of taught him as to what I need him to look for in the property so that he can be my eyes and ears, because I need this information for me to work up my numbers to decide whether or not I'm going to buy this property. And here's what I'm going to tell you. If I can buy that property for $135,000 and I can do all the repairs on that property and I can get my total costs at that for that property at $180,000, I'm buying that property. In a heartbeat, I'm buying that property. And here's why. I'm going to capture $20,000 worth of equity in that property. That's the difference between what it's actually worth in the marketplace and my all-in costs at $180,000. That difference right there is $20,000 in wealth that I pick up. That is my bonus, if you will, for acquiring that property and helping that family walk away from that property for $10,000 more in their pocket. Oh, and less costs of sale, because the wholesaler went there, negotiated with them, and that wholesaler had a relationship with me and other investors, and therefore that wholesaler had a pretty good understanding that he was going to make $5,000 on the deal. And I'm okay with him making $5,000 on the deal, because he brought me an asset that I would have never found on my own. He brought me an asset that my bank of realtors would not have potentially seen. Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes my realtors bring me wholesale deals. Yes, sometimes they do. Because when they're out there looking at properties and stuff, and maybe they get somebody that says, hey, I want to sell my property. And so they roll out to the person's house, and the first thing they notice is they drive up is like, oh, this is one Al would be interested in. You can acquire properties wholesale. And you will acquire these properties wholesale because you've developed relationships with other people that bring you those assets. And the reason they bring you those assets is because you're actually helping them earn money. Yeah, it's this concept of helping other people. I will tell you, I am so dialed into this concept because I know it absolutely works. Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough other people get what they want in life, you will get what you want in life also. And you know what, Zig? You got it right. Spot on, dude. Spot on. So these relationships that I have with wholesalers allow them to earn money so that they can feed their family. Now, I want you to be very clear on this. Wholesaling is a job. Is a J-O-B. It's a job, okay? You actually have to go out and work at this job to find these properties, these assets to make available to people like me. You also have to make relationships with people like me. So you have to spend some time finding people like me that you can sell these assets to. It's a job. Real estate agents, same thing. It's a job. It's totally a job. Now, let me break down the differences between these two. Okay. Wholesaler versus real estate agent. Who's got the fiduciary obligation and why do you care? Okay. First of all, a fiduciary obligation is an obligation which creates a client relationship. Did I get all that? Did I get that right? All you attorneys out there listening, it's a client relationship. You have a responsibility to do what is in the best interest of the client. The wholesaler, what's their relationship? Do they have a fiduciary relationship? They do not. They do not have a fiduciary obligation. As a matter of fact, they're doing what's in the best interest of their own, of their own self. Yes, yes, there is no fiduciary obligation there. Okay, so here's the point I want to make. The realtor is governed by licensing law. Yeah, every realtor has to sit for a licensing exam, and then they are issued a license by the state or states that they operate in, okay? And then there's this whole massive layer of ethics that goes along with it. It is a massive layer of ethics. And the reason that massive layer of ethics exists is because in the past, there were some realtors that did some very bad things, which caused all these ethics laws to be created. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a space where realtors can operate with their clients and everything is correct. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's get back over to the wholesaler. No fiduciary obligation, no licensing requirement. As a matter of fact, there have been some places that have actually outlawed wholesalers. And here's why. The wholesalers that know what they're doing are actually pretty good at what they're doing. They understand that there has to be a level of ethics in what they do. Otherwise, they're just going to abuse everybody. And if they abuse everybody, they're not going to be in business with anybody. Because I'll tell you what, you burn me on a deal, I will never, ever do business with you again. If you lie to me, if you cheat me, if you steal from me, I will let everybody I know that's what happened. I have no problems being the town crier when it comes to your business relationships. And as a result of that, there are wholesalers out there I will not do business with. Period. End of story. And here's why. My fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members have told me about these people, and they basically have blacklisted them. Yeah, these people operate unfairly. These people go out. Now, let me give you the example between what I consider a ethical wholesaler and an unethical wholesaler. Now, keep in mind, there's really no laws, there's no standards that requires any of these people to operate any way, other than the fact that these people are in business, and if they're smart business people, they have to understand that if they get outside of an ethical realm of business, it's going to be problematic for them, right? Okay, so the ethical wholesaler would go to this asset and say, look, you've got an offer for 120. I think I can get you 130 for the property. They get the property under contract. They contact me immediately and they go, look, Al, we would like a $5,000 premium to assign this over to you. So your cost us is $135 plus whatever escrow costs there are. I went through the property and these are the systems that I see that are wrong. Take a few moments, work up your numbers, give me a call back, see if it's going to work for you. And as soon as he hangs up the phone, he's calling some other investors too, because he's giving these people an opportunity to buy. And literally the first person that calls him back that says, I'm in, well, they're going to get the deal. That's kind of how it works. I mean, it's not fully fair, right? But it's the way that guy wants to do business. And if I want to do business with him, I have to understand how he does business. Now, I'm going to run my numbers based on what he tells me. And if the numbers don't work, in other words, if I can't keep this thing at a 180 all-in cost against a $200,000 ARV, that's going to blow my parameters, and I'm probably going to walk away from the deal. All right? Meantime, other investors are probably looking at this thing too. Okay? So, if I decide I want to buy it, I'll buy it. If I decide I'm not going to buy it, I'm not going to buy it. It's that simple. If I buy it, that wholesaler is going to make that $5,000 premium, which I think is a fair price for an assignment of a contract, especially for an asset of that value. Okay. All you're doing is you're selling a right to buy that you went and found. That's all you're doing. And by the way, finding that right to buy, that's where all the labor comes in. That's where all the work, that's where the JOB piece is, because you're going to spend a lot of time finding that one contract you get signed, and then more work assigning that contract to somebody like me. Now, let's talk about that unethical wholesaler. That unethical wholesaler is like, oh, I've got one. Oh, and in their mind, they've got to get as much money out of this deal. These are the guys that come to me and they go, hey, man, I've got a contract for $130,000. The ARV is $200,000, and I've got a $25,000 premium on it. And you know what I do? I go, oh, okay. I'm okay with paying somebody a $25,000 premium if the numbers work. But I will tell you, based on that example I just gave you, $25,000 doesn't work, because that extra $20,000 of premium this wholesaler wants on this one deal, because he wants to get rich in one deal, he wants to live off of one deal for the entire year, okay, that equates to the $20,000 of equity I was going to capture in the deal. That wholesaler is basically trying to take the equity that I would earn by doing this deal away from me, and he wants me to do all of that work and not get the benefit of capturing equity in that deal. He thinks that's fair. And you know what I tell a guy like that? I'll buy your price, but you're going to have to lower your commission down to, well, it's not even a commission, your fee down to $5,000. And I've told people that. And you know what happened the first time I did it? The guy hung up on me. He hung up on me. Yeah. You know what I told all my friends at Lifestyles Unlimited, the next case study I went to? When such and such calls you with a deal, they're trying to rip you off. They're really not trying to establish a business relationship with you where they're going to go out and find deals. And then it becomes easy for the wholesaler. Because here's the thing. If you're a wholesaler and you find an investor like me that's buying properties, you've got a pipeline. You've got a pipe. It's called a deal flow. Yeah, the thing we've been talking about is deal flow. It works both ways. So I have relationships with real estate professionals and wholesalers, specifically the ones that are good at doing what they do. Because what they do for me is they bring me deals to analyze. They bring me opportunity. Every day, I'll just look at my email right now. I will tell you specifically, because everything comes into an email account there. I call it deal flow. It's crazy, right? So this is what I've got today. Oh my, I got a lot of deals in here. All right, so just today and today alone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 deals so far in my inbox that I've got to get around to looking at. Now, it's only going to take me a couple minutes to look at each of these. And most of these are single family deals, but two of them are actually multifamily deals. Those will actually take me a little bit longer to analyze because it's just a different product. But I will tell you this, when I run through these 7 deals, if something catches my interest, if it meets my investing criteria, I will probably pursue it. And if I don't pursue it, I'm very confident that the person that brought it to me will be able to transact that deal. Because, well, to be honest with you, once you start working with real estate investors and you start understanding what we're looking for, you start understanding what our tolerance is for wholesale pricing versus retail pricing, it puts you in a real sweet spot. And that sweet spot allows you to transact properties. It allows you to make the money that you decided you wanted to make when you chose that business route. Now, here's the other thing I want to share with you. For those of you that are in the real estate industry, that are in the wholesale industry, this is the one point I want to make specifically to you. Come on over to our side. Come on over to our side. I'm serious. When you're done working for money, because that's what you're doing, you are working for money and you're self-employed, so you get to pay self-employment taxes. I know how all this works. When you're done doing that and you want to convert that money into assets to start paying you, come on over to Lifestyles Unlimited. We will be glad to have you.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.